Well, as Pastor Mark alluded to, as we close out the summer, things are changed up a little bit in here on our Sunday morning from normal, and that is everything from Run Kids, which is our kindergarten, right up through our youth, our high school, are in. We're last week, this week, and next week, and then September 9th, you will start back everybody on your regular kickoffs for all your different ministries, so you can be excited for that. We're excited just to have you in here with us. It is one thing that is a challenge, I know, for all churches, but we tend to segregate so often, and the kids go off to their time together, and the youth go off to their time together, and we never do come together as a church family. And maybe that's part of the reason that for many kids, when they grow up, go off to college, they don't really want to get engaged in a church because they've never really been in it. They've always been in their little separate thing. So anyway, we're happy to have you in here with us today. For all of you, particularly our youngest ones, I promise you that I will talk shorter than normal here for you today. I'm sure your parents are looking at you and saying, we've heard that before. But anyway, okay. Well, for this 3 weeks, with everybody in, we're engaged in a series centering on the truth that we sing about in that rich worship song, Holy, 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 God in three persons, Blessed Trinity. Embodied in those words is the concept that the God we follow exists in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Last week, Pastor Mark talked about God the Father, talked about the greatness of God as expressed in the incredible nature of God's power, as demonstrated in His power in creation, and many other ways. But you know something, if we ended the series there, and that was all we understood about God, that He is incredibly powerful, we might end up with a distorted picture of God. We might end up with a picture of that. Right? That God is some mighty warrior in the sky just waiting to hit us with a lightning bolt if we get out of line. And this is why today we continue with a second aspect of the Trinity, God the Son, Jesus. Because it is through Jesus that we best understand, I believe, God's incredible love for each one of us. And once we grasp the breadth and depth of that love, then we know we need not run from God, as fear of Him gets replaced with trust in Him. So this morning, let's take a moment to look at Jesus, at who He was. Because the heart of everything we believe as a church is wrapped up in His identity. There's a movie ways back, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Anybody ever see Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid? Right. Well, there's a scene. Paul Newman and Robert Redford are trying to get away from this posse. And everything they do, they pull every trick in the book to get the posse off the trail. And nothing works. And if you remember, every time they try something and it doesn't work, Paul Newman turns to Robert Redford and says, who are those guys? Well, the question for us today is, who was that man? Jesus. Was he just a man? I mean, that's what many would say. Oh, he was just a human like you and me. Oh, he taught, he was a good man, he was a moral man, he taught wonderfully moral principles. He lived a very giving, selfless life, but that's the end of it. I think it's really important for the youth here today that you decide where you stand on this question of who was Jesus. Because you will, if you have not already, have teachers who will try to convince you that is all Jesus was. A decent man, but no more. So who you decide He was is absolutely critical if you are to truly take ownership of your faith. And for it to be about more than just, oh, that's what my parents believed. Oh, that's what they told me in the youth group. That's what they taught me in Run Kids. For any one of us here, if we want to be able to express to others the heart of the Christian message, then we cannot mistake Jesus for anyone other than God Himself come to this earth. I expect some of you in college have taken or will take a class on world religions. I'll give you a head start this morning. There's no other leader of a major world religion ever claimed what Jesus claimed. That is, they never claim to be God Himself. We hear a lot about the Muslim religion. They follow the teachings of Muhammad. But Muhammad never claimed to be Allah, God. He just claimed to be a prophet, someone who had a direct line to God, but not God Himself. Buddha did not even believe in God. He just claimed to be a very wise person. But Jesus, he does not just say he's a very wise person. He does not just claim to have a direct line to God. He claims to be God. Now, some may try to tell you, oh, he never actually said that. That's just what pastors want to tell you. Friends, you cannot read the New Testament and not see clearly how often Jesus made this claim. He continually referred to himself with titles reserved just for God. If you read from Exodus chapter 3, here's a scene. Remember that? Remember learning in Sunday school about Moses and God speaking to him from a burning bush? Well, God's speaking, but Moses is concerned about the task that God is giving him to lead the people of Israel out of slavery in Egypt. And so Moses says, hold on there just a minute. The people aren't going to listen to me. Good grief. Burning bush, you don't even have a cool name. I mean, the gods of the Egyptians have awesome names. How am I supposed to convince people some no-name God has sent me to take them on this huge task to get out of slavery in Egypt? And God responds with these words found in Exodus 3:14. God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. Now that seems odd, unless you understand what that says in Hebrew. It is actually just a single word, J-H-V-H, from where we get the word Yahweh or Jehovah. Here was God's name, I am. A name that was from that point on incredibly sacred to the Jewish people. So let's time travel, if we can, to the New Testament and to a statement from Jesus' lips found in John 8:58. I tell you the truth, Jesus answered. Before Abraham was born, I am. Jesus was boldly and without equivocation claiming to be the same God who 1,500 years before had spoken to Moses from the burning bush. This carpenter from Nazareth says, I was around long before Abraham. Abraham had been dead for over 2,000 years. I mean, it's as if I said to you, yes, friends, I was there when Lincoln gave the Gettysburg Address. I was there when Washington crossed the Delaware River. I wasn't, actually. But then I'm not God. And if you think, oh, that's not what Jesus really meant to convey in that, David, look at how the people listening to Jesus speak those words. Look at how they responded in 8:59. At this, they picked up stones to stone him. They realized what Jesus was claiming, and to them it was blasphemy, and so they wanted to kill him. Over and over again in the Bible, Jesus claimed to be God. He often referred to himself as Lord, which is just the Greek translation of the word Jehovah. This is why an early greeting of people in the early church was, Jesus is Lord, simply meant to say, Jesus is Jehovah. He is the only true God. Just before he was crucified, Jesus is in the upper room with his disciples. One of them, Philip, who still does not get it, says these words to Jesus, and let's look at Jesus' response. John 14, 8 and 9. Philip said, look, Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you? Why can you say, show us the Father? Philip, it's me. I and the Father are one. Jesus not only said he was God, he took on tasks that only were reserved for God, or should have been. One example was when he became the man to forgive people their sins. Let me give you an illustration for a little bit of context, okay? Let's suppose I am giving a very boring talk one Sunday. This is just a hypothetical, you understand. The talk is dragging on, and my dear friends up in the sound booth, they can't take it anymore. So they turn off my sound. They sin against me. To which Pastor Seeger calls out to them, "It's okay, guys, I forgive you." What's the problem there? I could forgive them if I so choose, but Pastor Mark cannot forgive them for something they did to someone else unless he was claiming to be God, which of course he would never do. With that in mind, look at Mark 2, verses 5 through 7. A man has been paralyzed, is brought to Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." He's showing the right to forgive sins. Now, how do people respond? Some of the teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And religious leaders just freak out. Only God can forgive sins, and Jesus is thinking, "You're right. And that's why I did it, because I am God. I have the authority to forgive everyone's sins, because every sin ever committed is directed not just at another person, but is directed at a holy God, at Jesus." How about when the people accused Jesus of messing with the day that was specifically reserved for worship of God, the Sabbath? Look at how Jesus responds. Again, in Mark chapter 2, but now in verses 27 and 28. "Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man," that's how he refers to himself, "is Lord even of the Sabbath." Even of the Sabbath. Jesus says, "Don't tell me what I can or cannot do on my day." Jesus stated on many occasions that he was God come to this earth to walk amongst the people he had created. So understand this, if nothing else. Anyone who tries to tell you that Jesus was a good man, a moral man, but not God, is being intellectually dishonest, because Jesus himself did not give us that option. You see, you can disagree with some of Muhammad's teachings by simply saying he got it right sometimes and wrong sometimes. I mean, he was only human. So he did not always hear God clearly about what he thought God was telling him. You can disagree with Buddha by saying he got it right sometimes and wrong sometimes. I mean, he was only human. You can say the same about me or Pastor Mark and what we teach from up here. You can say, "I think our pastors are sincere, honest people, and sometimes get it right and sometimes get it wrong." And you can do that because we don't claim to be God. But let's say, just for the sake of argument, I had come up here this morning and this is what I said. "Friends, I have a very important announcement to make. I, Pastor David Morris, am God in the flesh. No doubt my wife and children have suspected this for years." Erase that part from the tape, would you please? "I was around before Abraham and Moses, and if you come to me, I will forgive your sins." Now, let's suppose I talk like that and was totally serious. As you left this sanctuary this morning, assuming you did not, as you probably should, walk out in the middle of my talk, what would you say to one another? Well, you would not say, "Pastor David is a sincere, honest guy." You would not say that, because by claiming to be God, I took that option off the table. And I have left you with only three options. One, old age has caught up to me, my mind is failing, and I am horribly confused. Two, I become hungry for power, and I am willing to lie to you, to deceive you, to try to increase my power. Or three, David Morris is God. No one here is going to choose option three, because there is nothing in my life that would support that ridiculous claim. I was born in Sibley Hospital downtown normally. I have lived a fairly normal life. And one day when I die, you can come to my grave and watch over it as long as you want, because I am not coming out 3 days later. So not only is there nothing miraculous about me, there has been plenty in my life to indicate I am not God. That's one you can truly ask my wife and children about. So with option three off the table, only options one and two remain. Either I am a liar or a lunatic. The "he is a good man" explanation has been obliterated by my claim to be God. And so is the case with Jesus. Either he was God, or he was a lunatic, or he was a liar. He was a liar deliberately leading thousands down a path he knew to be a dead end. Or a lunatic who really believed he was God and was able to convince thousands to follow him down a path that was obviously leading to a dead end. Jesus claimed to be God, and as C.S. Lewis has written so much more eloquently than anything I could say, "You cannot say I accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I do not accept his claim to be God. Either he was who he said he was, or he was a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come up to him with any patronizing nonsense about him being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to." So, which is it for you? Was Jesus a liar? Was he insane? Or was he God himself in human flesh? That is the million-dollar question. I believe, with every fiber of my being, that he was God. Reasons, many, but the main one the Apostle Paul tells us about in Romans 1:4. "And through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power," this is Jesus he's talking about, "to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord." Paul says Jesus claimed to be God, and he proved it by doing what no one else had ever done or will ever do, by overcoming death and the grave and walking out of the tomb on Easter morning, 3 days after he had been crucified and died. Now, I could go into great detail about all the evidence that supports the historical fact that Jesus, in fact, did rise from the dead. We've done messages on that. We'll do them in the future, but I'm going to save that for another time. But I will say to you, if you have any questions about that, if you study seriously the evidence supporting the resurrection, then I believe you will find any doubts you might have going the same way as those of Thomas. Remember Thomas, one of the disciples? He had some doubts initially. Let's read about them in John 20:27-28. "Then he," Jesus said to Thomas, "put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe." And what did Thomas say? Read that with me. Thomas said to him what? "My Lord, my Jehovah and my Elohim," Thomas says. The two most common Hebrew words for God Almighty. Jesus claimed to be God. He proved it by rising from the dead. And if you have never fallen on your knees and declared to Jesus, "my Lord and my God," you need to ask yourselves, why? So we've come full cycle. That God is great is made clear not only through his power, but also by his love demonstrated in Jesus, the ultimate demonstration of him giving up his very life on a cross because he loved you and me so very much. Let's read this verse together, Romans 5:8. "But God demonstrates..." While we were still ignoring him, thumbing our nose at him, cared less about him, he hung in blood and died on a cross for you. And all you have to do is to receive, accept, believe in his death on the cross for your sin. Jesus went to, bled and died on a cross to show you how much he loved you. Because of the amazing power of God the Father, and because of the incredible love of God we see in the Son, Jesus. That means you can trust Him in everything. Anybody here facing any challenges this morning? Anybody? A family challenge, a relational challenge, a work challenge, a school challenge, a health challenge. No matter what it is, no matter what is behind that challenge, it is not so big that God's love and His power cannot handle it if you give your life and all the challenges that come with it to Him. Because of who Jesus was, because of what He did, you are not alone if you will place your faith and trust in who He was and what He did in dying on a cross for you. But you know what? These wonderful truths are not just for something for us to receive here in this room and then hold on to, are they? We want others to know about this Jesus, who He was and why He came. One last scripture, Romans 10:14 says this: how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them, without someone telling them about Jesus? And that applies in our neighborhoods, around our sports teams, in our schools. And it also applies all around the world. And we are blessed to have a couple right now that is very active in making sure that that message is heard all around the world. So I'm going to ask Lucy and Tyler to come up here now, if they would. Lucy and Tyler Lunsford. And I'm going to hand that to you first. Come on over here. Let me get a little room so I don't push Tyler off the edge there. Lucy, I want to share just a little bit, because you've been in this church for a while. You kind of came up. So share a little bit about that, how you came to Cedar Run.
Yes. Well, Cedar Run is incredibly important to me. Cedar Run has played a profound role and had a profound impact on my walk with Christ and my growing and maturing in Christ. And my family came here right at the beginning of me starting college. And so then throughout college and after college, Cedar Run has played a huge role in hiring me over the summers.
That's right,
and
you interned for
I
us.
Interned, for 2 summers here, and was a part of the college group led by Travis. And truly, there are many men and women in this room that have played a huge role in my maturing in Christ.
And
it's been a blessing to be a part of this community.
And maybe one of the biggest things, the most important things
That's
we did,
right.
was you went on a mission trip and
yes,
something
sir.
Happened on that, right?
Yeah.
Let's hear that story.
This guy. That's right. Yeah, Cedar Run sent me on a mission trip to Guatemala, where I met this guy here.
It's
and
a distracted mission.
But actually, the last time we were standing on this stage, we were saying, "I do." So that's pretty fun.
Is that pretty cool?
That's pretty fun, yeah.
Because, just to bring it all full cycle, Ty, your home is where?
I grew up in Ethiopia until I was a sophomore in high school. Yeah, 16. And so we actually moved back from Africa, both at the same age, but went to Houston. So
That's
a little
right.
further
so
south.
So you were in Texas. You were
That's
up
right.
here. And
yes.
you met in Guatemala.
We
so,
did. Right
in
the middle,
right?
Yeah.
So God
That's
knew what
right.
he was
it
doing.
Was, yeah. It was a
well,
story.
Well, I wanted to kind of get a little introduction, but now I want to step off the stage and leave it to you for you all to share a little
Thank
bit.
You.
About what God is doing, and it's
Thank
yours.
You. Thank you so much. Thank you, Pastor David. Well, it's good to be here with you guys. We are so thankful and privileged to have this time to share with you. We are actually leaving in 2 weeks, so this is an important time in our lives right now. But the reason why we are on this stage is because we are feeling the burden of God's love for a people that don't know Him, and for people that don't know of His grace, and for people that have never heard of the name Jesus and knowing God is love. And that is the people of North Africa. But that story started when we were back from when we were young. And so I grew up in Khartoum, Sudan, with my family. and Tyler grew up in Ethiopia, both of us until we were 16, and then God brought us over to the States. And so both of us growing up in Muslim communities for most of our lives, God truly embedded a passion and a heart for Muslim peoples. But more importantly than that, God has profoundly changed our lives by his love and by the love of Christ and because of our relationship with God and understanding and knowing truly his love. You know that it's not a love for us to keep, but it's a love for us to give.
Yeah, and so love is the perfect medium by which to talk about missions, because that's the why. There's no other why besides the love of God. But if we just were here today to tell you about the love that's happened in our hearts as we've come to know the love of the Father, that would fall short. Because if we know the scriptures and we know who God is, it's not just, as Lucy said, just ours. It's a love for all people. And that's a story that God revealed to us, really while we were both in college, how Genesis through Revelation points to a story of God's love for all peoples. If you would like a list of verses that displays that, I would love to share them with you after the service. But God revealed to us, after years of even walking with him, that our lives are meant to be on purpose of sharing God's love for all peoples. And that's partnering with the work of Jesus Christ. I wanted to read a powerful passage that was a part of revealing that to us, and that would be in Revelation 7. It's a little peek into what the throne room of Jesus looks like. It's where we're all headed as believers, and it gives us a glimpse of what it'll be. It says in Revelation 7:9, "After this I look, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and the Lamb, crying out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb.'" That worked powerfully within us as we were confronted with this love of God, that it's not just for the people that we are familiar with. It's for every language, every unique people that God created. He displayed his beauty in creation, his power in creation, and he's going to redeem all people. And then even recently this week, we were meditating on Isaiah 65 as it's prophesying about this love that would come displayed through Jesus. And it says, "I was ready," and this is the Lord speaking to his people, "I was ready to be sought by those who did not ask for me. I was ready to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, 'Here I am, here I am,' to a nation that was not called by my name." And so as we meditate on the love of God, we're also meditating on a love for those that did not belong. And that's the message that we get to take to North Africa, that we're grateful. It's a message that's changed our hearts. It's changed so many hearts in this room. And I pray that together we get to continue moving forward and sharing that.
So for us, what that looks like is we are joining a team in North Africa. And for safety and security purposes, we can't share that country with you on stage. But if you come to us afterwards, we may be able to. But we have a team there in a city of 2 million. And there right now is around 15 to 20 Muslim background believers. And so the birth of an underground church that is so small in light of the 2 million, but God is truly doing a miraculous work. He is moving in the hearts of so many of our Muslim brothers and sisters, and the testimonies are beautiful. They truly are. And so God has invited our little family, Tyler, I, and Jonah, our son. He's in the back right there with my mom. Jonah is 3 months old right now, and God has kept him really healthy and plump for all our travels and for the journey, and we are really thankful for that.
Yeah, so we're joining a team that's focused on church planting. These are underground churches, extremely small churches that don't have the honor of meeting in a form that we do today. So in our country, there's a couple barriers that has prohibited the gospel from really expanding, though there have been people serving there for over 100 years with the name of Christ. It's illegal for any missionaries to enter the country. It's illegal for any of the nationals to gather in any form of a church service. So all churches are banned, and they have to be held in high degree of secrecy. It's illegal for national believers to own a Bible in Arabic, which obviously prevents the powerful word of God from convicting hearts. and it's illegal to share about your faith. And so what that means is that there's immense challenges to people, not just saying no to the gospel that you and I have heard. There's immense challenges to people even having the opportunity to hear the gospel that you and I have had the opportunity to say yes or no to. And so we're praying that the Lord continues to reveal himself in miraculous ways. Part of just our story of just being called to that part of the world, the Lord just gave us an immense love for Muslim brothers and sisters, partly maybe because of the way that we grew up. But Muslims have an immense reverence for God. That's something beautiful to behold. A desire to honor God, so many of them. If you even observe the way that they pray, they're taking the highest, most honorable part of their body and they're putting it in the dirt 5 times a day, saying, Father, you're worthy of our worship. And yet we believe so much what is mentioned in Romans 10:2, where in this case it's speaking of Jews, but it bears the same meaning. It says, for I bear them witness that they have a great zeal for God, but not a knowledge of the truth. For Christ is the end of a law for righteousness to everyone who believes. And so this is the message of hope, that Jesus has come and that he's brought relationship with God. And so we're grateful to be bearers of that message. Just a quick story, because life is really just about stories and celebrating God's work through our lives. There was a young man in a city nearby ours who had 30 dreams and 30 nights of Jesus. He knew without a shadow of a doubt it was Jesus. And yet he went months following that experience without anyone to explain to him who that might be. He was desperate to understand. And no access to scripture that he could even read the stories. Over time, he got in contact with a radio station who got in contact with some of our team leaders. Finally, someone got to meet him at a coffee shop. Immediately, he said, I want to believe. Of course, I wanted to believe for months. I just didn't know who he was. And our team leader asked him, he said, would you like to meet some of the other believers here in our city? And almost crying, he couldn't believe it. He said, there's more believers? He said, I thought I must be the only one in our country. And so you see how the enemy uses isolation, but at the same time, God is at work in a mighty way.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that we are leaving in 2 weeks. Now God has brought us to 100% funding. Praise him. His provision is abundant, and you are a huge part of that. So thank you. Thank you for being a part of our journey. Thank you for going with us. We truly feel very taken care of and very confident even with a three-month-old to go because of people like you that are praying for us and praying with us and taking care of us. But we are very excited to leave in 2 weeks, and some things that you can be praying for us on are just our traveling, that God would really give us some smooth travels. And our team right now is trying to find us a home in our city. So you could pray that God is that God is in that, and that our home would be in a purposeful location with neighbors that are around us that maybe are interested or willing to hear about Christ. And just the beginnings of our ministry, if you could pray for us in that we would build a strong reputation that is good for Christ, and that we would have many opportunities to share.
Yeah, and as Lucy said, just thank you so much for your involvement in our hearts. You, as a church, have given to us financially and will continue to. So many individuals in this church have also supported that, but also especially for your prayers. That's what we need the most as the Lord breaks through in such a hardened part of the world. We're grateful to have you by our side, and it gives us courage to keep stepping forward, knowing that we're not alone in any way. So appreciated the message today that Jesus was either a liar, a lunatic, or God himself. And I pray that we would each continue to wrestle with that message because it's worthy of our lives. If we can spend our lives wrestling, it's one thing. It's who is Jesus, and if he is God, what does that mean for our lives? And I just wanted to finish reflecting on that in 2 Corinthians 5:14-15, it says, for the love of Christ controls or compels us, the love of Christ, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, and therefore all have died. And he died for all that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. And I just pray that we would share the joy of surrendering our entire lives. You don't need to move to another country to do that. I pray that together as a church, we might continue to experience the full richness of giving everything for the one who is worthy and who gave everything for us. We're so grateful for you once again, and we look forward to the journey that's ahead for both of us. So thank you so much.
We, as a church, are truly the ones that are blessed to know you guys. I hope that challenge is there for all of us and that you will pray regularly for Tyler and Lucy. And, you know, I'm excited that even our youngest are in here today, because one day it may be you standing up here sharing a similar story of where you're heading off to. And that seed was planted that day you heard these two speak. So we want to pray specifically over him. I'm going to ask now for Ross Kaiser. Ross is heading up, is now the head of our missions committee and all that we do with global partners. And so I'm going to give him the mic and ask him to pray for them.
All right, would you pray with me? Dear Father, Lord, we thank you so much, Lord, that you are a God of love. Lord, that you love all the peoples of the earth. You've created all of them. Lord, and we pray, or we thank you that you are a missionary God and that you send us out in our neighborhoods, in our offices, and all around the world. Lord, and we just pray a commissioning. We pray an anointing for Tyler and Lucy and little Jonah. And we just pray that you would be with them, Lord, and that you would truly just empower them in all they need. Lord, we pray that a fresh blessing, Lord, over their lives. We pray that you would help them in their team, Lord, that their team would just have a unity and that they would work well together. Lord, we pray over their marriage, that it would be strong, Lord, and you would bless it immensely, and you would allow it to encourage others as well. We pray for their ministry, Lord, that you would give them opportunities, Lord, to share just the love, their joy that they have in Christ. Lord, and we pray for empowerment. We pray for equipping. We pray when they need boldness that you give it to them. When they need patience, when they need love and forgiveness, that you give them exactly what they need in that time. Lord, we also pray for protection. Lord, we pray for their travels. We pray for, just their health, their safety in this country. Lord, there is a lot of risks. And so we pray that you would be with them in all their time. Lord, and when things do get rough, and Lord, your word says that there will be suffering and there will be trials, Lord, may they hold on to the Great Commission that says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. So the same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead is living inside of us and living inside of Tyler and Lucy. Lord, I pray they hold on to that. But Lord, also at the end of the Great Commission, you tell us that I will be with you until the end of the age. So you will always be with us. And Lord, may they hold on to that when things get rough, that no one can separate us from the love of Christ. So, Lord, we pray for them, and we pray that you would be with them in their remaining time, and that they would have a joy as they go in all they do. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thanks. Okay. And you'll have time, because we're going to be hanging around. I hope everyone's going to hang around, and Tyler and Lucy will be here, so you can hang around and talk with them some more, because afterwards we're having pizza, as Pastor Mark shared with you. So you kids have been great with your patience. You now get to go out and eat some pizza. So how's that sound? Pretty cool. So I'm going to dismiss in just a minute, but when you go out, if some of the men could maybe help us get a few tables out there so people can be set up. Deb Danforth graciously put together this meal for us, the pizza, some salad.